This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Top of the morning, top of the morning, top of the morning.
Yes, top of the morning, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
I'm up before the cows.
That's how committed this man is to this job. That's my co-host, Dave Rothenberg. Our amazing producers, we got the little Don himself.
I hope your dogs poop on your bed.
Wow, nasty. RJ Santillo. How about our sleepless warrior, Raymond Santiago?
I get this reputation on the show as being like just awful. The worst
you are awful.
What we...
Going to be a feisty show today. I can already feel it. And of course, as always, we have the company. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Hot take Joe in Newcastle.
Hot take Joe, hot take Johnny. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call is always 1-800-919-3776.
Shooter Stanford with the sexy hot wife.
Sexy hot wife. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
I go away, this show dies.
Yeah, we get it. You're the most important guy on the show. We all know. The Jets take a huge swing for Tyreek Hill. Miss. And, of course, he ends up in our division. No Julius Randle. No Mitchell Robinson. No problem. Knicks made 23s, 30 assists. Rolled to a 15-point win in Charlotte. KD and Kyrie combined for 78 points. And still, the Nets lose by 12 in Memphis. But who cares? Because it looks like Kyrie's going to be now available for home games. The vaccination mandate going to be rolled back today, opening the door for Kyrie, unvaccinated Mets, and Yankees to play at home. Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, and Giancarlo Stanton all go deep for the Yankees last night. Sweet 16 tips off tonight, which means Dave won't sleep. But the most important tournament, sweeping the nation host sadness, opens up this morning at 6 a.m. We have the number one seed.
Thank you, my friend, and I will see you soon. Say hi to everybody.
All right, be well. You say hello, too.
Okay, take care, Michael. It's Michael Kay with me here.
My best friend used words as weapons. Michael Kay going up against
A suckaholic.
Alan Hahn in the most highly anticipated matchup of the tournament so far. The 5 seed.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. The Ravens.
The sports savant. That is Peter Rosenberg going up against. Hey, Chris. It's Rick DiPietro. Son of a. Your very own. It gets worse every time I hear it. The 4 seed. Me, Rick DiPietro. 7:35, Dave, the fat-free whipped cream has paid off. We got Mel Kiper on the show. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we have no observations. And did it happen in Florida? But before we get to all of that, I would like to say good morning to our very, very risque host.
I think there's liververse on a naughty sandwich.
Oh, does he love the naughty sandwich? That is David Rothenberg.
Wow. My goodness, that's a lot to unpack. I'm surprised RJ at some point during that open wasn't like, all right, you got to break. It's time to break. That thing took a long time.
Take a call.
That was like a flight to Vegas. Wow.
We're halfway through the open and Sandy's like, you know, we're at like 15 drops already.
That's my goodness. That
you better wrap it up.
That's it. I asked Raymond when I had a minute to speak to him when you were done monopolizing his time. I said, how's the open coming along? He goes, it gets longer and longer.
There's a lot to get into.
Wow. There is a lot to get into. Part of the a lot to get into is what we have to get into on the show. I mean, Mel Kiper Jr., 7:35. Nobservations and DHIF, 6:45. Looks like the vaccine mandate is going to be done for athletes and performers, which I have to imagine a lot of people are going to be very excited about and a lot of people will be very annoyed about. So we'll certainly get into that. You know what's amazing about the NFL? And you know what? I'm not even going to give you my take. The Tyreek Hill trade, right? You think to yourself, Dolphins, Jets, Dolphins, not the Jets, and that's got to be very
painful. Well, no, who thought that, though? But who thought that?
What?
No, I mean, once you heard the teams, and I hate to jump into it right now, but once you heard the teams, and that Kansas City accepted both deals, and then it was up to Tyreek Hill. I mean, what did you think he was going
to
do?
I thought he was going to go to the Dolphins, but it doesn't mean it stings any less.
Well, no, of course it stings. I mean, you lose out, and then he ends up in the Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All I'll say is this. If Tua is decent, that offense is going to be unreal.
Well, I know. And let's not forget they added Cedric Wilson. Look at the run. I mean, what they did at running
Cedric
back.
Cedric Wilson, Chase still Devontae Edmonds. Parker. Added Mostert, right? I mean, added the best offensive lineman in free agency. Still Kisicki. Keep Kisicki. So, geez, terrifying. And then the
Knicks. Yeah, but the AFC is an arms race right now, man. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And listen, we'll get into the conversation. I think the Jets will be a lot better. I don't know if it translates to wins.
No, I probably won't. But I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I know why that. I know why Joe Douglas did it, right? I mean, everyone understands.
Wanted to be involved?
Well, not even wanting to be involved. I mean, you used the second overall pick on Zach Wilson. I mean, we keep saying it. The goal is to make sure that Zach Wilson proves that he can be a franchise quarterback. What better way?
No, that's
to get someone
way.
Like Tyreek Hill.
And the kid's got one of the great arms in football. You run deep, I'll throw it up, you catch it. We've seen that from Tyreek Hill forever. So I'm sure Raiders fans and Chargers fans and Broncos fans are happy this morning. They don't have to deal with Tyreek Hill two times a year anymore. So we got that. The Knicks with, I mean, it's amazing. No Julius Randle, no Mitchell Robinson. That Hornets defense last night was some of the worst defense I've ever seen played in an NBA game. It was atrocious. But the Knicks go down to Charlotte and get the win. You know, I found it curious. I don't know how closely you paid attention to this. Very curious that the Nets went into the game last night as one-point underdogs and Memphis didn't have Ja Morant. And I'm like, this seems so weird. Well, that's why, because Memphis, boy, they can shoot, huh? They got a lot of talent even without Ja Morant. They're now 15-2 on the season when Ja Morant doesn't play in a game. So, there's so much for us to unpack and get into today. I'm excited about today's show. And then at 6 o'clock, and that's what I'm nervous about for you, host Sadness. You go up against Peter Rosenberg.
Yeah, this is a big day for me. And I'm going to be on TV at 2 o'clock this afternoon on the Deuce.
Oh, you're back up to Bristol?
Back up to Bristol, yeah.
So you got to drive up there in the rain, huh?
Hey, last week, same thing.
As they say in hockey! Let's do that hockey.
Well, that's very unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, no, it'll be fun.
Well, no, the show will be fun, but a drive in the pouring rain won't be.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm looking forward to it.
No. So where to start? I guess we start with we've been dealing with this forever. We'll get into the Jets very early on in the show and the fact that you were this close from landing. I think he's the most dynamic player in football. Outside of quarterback. But regardless, we'll get to that conversation in a few minutes. The vaccine mandate looks like it's going to be lifted today for performers and athletes. So a couple of things. A, you're a sports fan. You're thrilled. Now you don't have to worry about whoever it was going to be in baseball with the Mets and the Yankees. And certainly Kyrie, we know that. And B, if you're someone who lost their job over this, over the last God knows how long, you have to be incensed that now athletes and performers, you go back to work and you don't miss any more time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, we talked about this yesterday too, that the way that Mayor Adams has kind of addressed this whole thing, where he wasn't going to be pushed around by Kyrie or, you know, now we're at the point with, you know, Yankees and Mets season starting up, that there was more to the story. Like there had to be other reasons why. When you look at how, I mean, he even admitted it. The rule's stupid. Like, I mean, he admitted it. He said it.
Like, but he also said recently, like I don't anticipate it changing anytime soon.
Well, that's the thing, though. So, I mean, it's like he, in one breath, you're saying it's a stupid rule, which I think we all agree on. I mean, just the whole idea of Kyrie being able to play road games, practice and everything else, actually go to Barclays, sit in the stands, and it all seems silly. Or that unvaccinated players could come play at Barclays. It seems silly.
It is. It is. The whole thing. No matter what side of the fence you're on when it comes to this situation, the way they're enforcing it makes absolutely no sense.
So he recognized that. But still, I mean, the mandate for, you know, private sector, it didn't feel like it was going to be rolled back. And we're like, oh, well, there has to be other reasons why. And one of those reasons obviously being that, you know, over 1,400 city workers lost their jobs and everything else. So, like, there had to be other, like, other politics involved in it. And he came out and you mentioned it. I mean, it didn't sound like this was something that was going to all of a sudden change. And now, you know, the report comes out last night that it looks like it's going to be rolled back for athletes and entertainers.
But how is that fair? Listen, I'm not thrilled the fact that it sounds like Aaron Judge wasn't vaccinated. He gets to play. And Nimmo wasn't vaccinated. He's going to get to play. Kyrie Irving, I love watching him play. But how is this fair? I don't understand how, if you're a city worker, no, you lose your job. And you lose your job.
Well, how about a frontline worker? How about a frontline worker that was working without, was asked to, like when this whole pandemic started, when there was no vaccination, that was asked to go work and deal with patients that had COVID and they weren't vaccinated. There was no vaccination.
No.
And now having to make a choice to get vaccinated or lose your job.
Right. So a lot of people, I mean, over 1,000 people lost their jobs, and now you come in and you're like, but you know, let's just lift it for athletes and performers. Again, a part of me loves it, and a big part of me, it's just unfair.
Yeah, and I mean, it how it looks too, and the timing of it. And he said you're going to follow the science and everything else. Well, it's not what it sounded like a couple days ago. The whole thing, it feels like it was mishandled. Even the way that the Nets handled it, the whole way that Kyrie came in, a nationally televised game, there was some, you know, talk before the game that they're going to kind of make a spectacle out of it to try to embarrass or just to shed light on how stupid it was. And of course, that's exactly what they did. He shows up late. Cameras are on him. Doris Burke is crushing the rule. Then KD's calling out the mayor after the game. He's got to figure this out. So it's a bad look, and ultimately, I mean, as sports fans, you get what you want, but I can imagine that, you know, there's people that aren't sports fans
it's weird. We're in this world of sports, so it's all we know, right? We love sports. All we do is consume sports. All we do is talk sports. Like we're so knee-deep in this world that we can't see that there's another world out there. Most people aren't in the world that we're in. Most people are just live normal lives, and yeah, maybe they're interested in sports, and maybe they like to watch sports, but it doesn't consume them like it does us. And how do you explain to those people that if you're a member of the, you know, police force or FDNY, you know what, sorry, you can't keep your job, unfortunately. Not only will we hold the job until this thing blows over, no, you can't keep your job, but Kyrie will keep your seat warm. And now, because you're a high-profile employee, now you can go play?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like even not being able to play home games, you're not getting fired. Like, Kyrie was still getting paid. Now, he wasn't getting paid for home game, but he's still getting paid. He didn't lose his job. Like, Aaron Judge wasn't going to lose his job. I mean, you don't think there's frontline workers, teachers, I mean, that wanted to have that choice? For whatever reason.
Sure there are.
For whatever reason, but they didn't have that choice. It was either you get vaccinated or you're fired. Now, to go from where we're at, where it's like, hey, I won't be pushed around. We're going to roll it back for, what do you say, 2 to 4-year-olds?
Yes.
And then we'll follow the science. All of a sudden now, it breaks yesterday that it's going to be rolled back today. I don't know, man. It just...
It feels gross, doesn't it? It feels gross. And I'm just looking right now. New York City Councilman Joe Borelli said this, and he's not wrong. Quote, firing our own employees, but allowing exemptions for the fancy ones. That's what we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting, but does it surprise you? I mean, honestly, like throughout this pandemic,
no,
does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me, but it repulses me, to be honest. It does. And I benefit. Like, Kyrie playing benefits us. Aaron Judge playing benefits us. All the guys who, and we can only speculate, so there's no reason to go up and down a list that we're not sure of, but all the guys that would not be able to play, now they can play, it benefits us. But as just a citizen, it really, I find it very, very unsettling that now, all right, guys, it's enough. The science 3 days ago says you can't play, but now today, go ahead, play. You're back. Let's go.
Yeah, and Kyrie ultimately gets exactly what he wanted.
That's right.
I mean, and you heard, I mean, Kevin Durant actually said that the other day, which was the first time I heard him say it. He's like, look at the date. Like, I mean, unless this mandate gets rolled back, Kyrie's not getting the shot. So, I mean, we're going to focus on what we have in this locker room, and that's it. And now, And this must be why, you know, when Aaron Judge was asked the question, I mean, he was being told that this will get figured out. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Avoid the question.
Randy Levine went, he spoke to the mayor, right? And there was never, and I guess we should have picked up on the signals. There was never this great concern when it came to baseball, right?
Well, it didn't feel like it. It didn't feel like it. And then you start reading the stories about how much money Steve Cohen has donated to the mayor's campaign and everything else. So, yeah, like, you know, you're right. I mean, that should have been the biggest hint for us.
Right. There was never this major concern with the baseball world. Is that is Judge not going to play? Is Stanton not vaccinated? Like, well, oh, my God, what's going to happen? It was like, don't worry. It'll be fine. Don't worry. And it is.
Ultimately, it is. You're right.
Ultimately, it is. So, as typically happens, the sports world, the athletes win, and the normal little person loses. But
it's not just the sports world like that, though. I mean, it's just... It ends up coming down to money, really.
That's it. But does that surprise you?
No, not at all.
No, not even a little bit. That in the end, money wins out.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The most important tournament sweeping the nation, host sadness, opens up this morning at 6 a.m. We have the number one seed.
Thank you, my friend, and I will see you soon. Say hi to everybody.
Be well. You say hello to
my best friend. Use words as weapons. Michael Kay going up against...
I'm a suckaholic.
Alan Hahn in the most highly anticipated matchup of the tournament so far, the five seed.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds, the Ravens.
That is Peter Rosenberg going up against...
Hey, Chris, it's Rick DiPietro.
Son of a...
Your very own. It gets worse every time I hear it.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
And the voting is underway. Very early returns are in. And you have a commanding lead over Peter Rosenberg. 92% to 8%. But it's very early. Only 35 votes have been cast in your battle, so don't get too excited yet. And on the other side, the winner of what you guys will play, Michael K. Alan Hahn. Hahn up very early again, 60% to 40%.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with Rosenberg with the later push.
The similar 11 a.m. push.
Yeah, similar to what he did to Carlin. Like, I'm not even sure if he's up yet for his morning show. I think he rolls out of bed at, like...
It goes on already.
Well, no, it doesn't mean he's there already.
Notorious for rolling out of bed and just popping the headphones on.
Well, it goes on at 6. You don't think he's awake yet?
I think he's awake. I'm not sure if he's out of his apartment yet.
I don't think he... Does he leave his apartment or does he do it from home?
That's a good question. Even when he was going into the studio, I don't think he left his apartment until close to 6.
I'm being told he does, in fact, go in. And do the show from...
RJ, what would he used to say? Didn't he used to say he'd wake up at like 5:45 or something for the show?
To get on air in a location at 6?
I'm not joking.
I can't confirm times, but I can confirm that there would be some lateness. The first
He would show up late for his own radio show?
The first segment, I think, is to an extent viewed as the, you know, like the stretching portion of practice. Like, if you make it, great, but, you know, sometimes you miss these things.
Now, he's a team player. All right, time for a little Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, you can take the music out now, please. We don't need the March Madness music now.
Oh, now it's going to stay up.
See why?
It's official. Santi still feels a way about you
now. Please, and
it's official.
What did I say that was wrong there? I was
nothing,
very nice.
But he feels away. This is because I brought it up. It was my mistake. I apologize to everybody. I brought it up. I think he's been so tired that he forgot about it, but that I mentioned it now, it's gonna affect the rest
of the show. What, mention him not being the smartest one on the show?
No, I didn't mention. I didn't have him ranked. I had him as my second smartest. You are the one that
I am too smart. I am too smart.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is, I said, can you please, can you please lower this music? And he's like, now I'm just going to leave it up.
Because he doesn't like you, I think.
Well, I think that's obvious. All right, so Tyreek Hill. You know what's amazing about the NFL? It goes from 0 to 100 in like an hour. So I took my nap. I wake up from my nap, and I see Tyreek Hill looks like he's going to be traded from the Kansas City Chiefs. This is Adam Schefter. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, right away, like, oh, my God. That is unbelievably huge news, right? Oh, my God. Yes, maybe not to that extent, but still, I exclaimed, oh, my God, wow. And then minutes after that, it's now down between the Jets and the Dolphins. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, there's a chance the Jets are going to get Tyreek Hill. And then I start to think about machinations of a trade. You know, do you want to trade the 5? No. Or the 4? Do you want to trade the 10? Like, these are high-value picks. Do you really want to trade them for Tyreek Hill? I'm thinking, well, I guess I would. He's that level of a difference maker.
You're not trading the 4, though.
Well, they wouldn't have to trade either, and that's the thing that's so
disheartening. Well, no, but in all reality, they would have.
They would have.
If they really wanted to get the deal done, like, if they were that hell-bent on making sure that Tyreek Hill, if they were going to match whatever the money was going to be a Jet, then you don't give Kansas City the opportunity to give him a choice. You say, okay, we'll give you the 10th. You can't have it where both deals are accepted or you know, adequate for Kansas City to take and then leave it up to Tyreek Hill, because what is he going to pick?
Both. He took Miami.
Okay, so if you were Joe Douglas and you really wanted to get it done, you say, hey, okay. Kind of like what Cleveland did with Deshaun. Oh, we're out?
Making an offer they can't refuse?
Yeah, well, how about we give you, let's change that. We'll give you the 10th overall pick. Well, okay, now, if I'm the Chiefs, how can I give Tyreek Hill a choice now?
Yeah, you
like, hey, Tyreek, we love you, but I mean, they're going to give you the same money. You'll get the extension.
But in actuality,
done.
You look at the draft chart, and the Jets were giving up more value than Miami gave up regardless.
No, I understand that, but there's something to me. I mean, the 10th overall pick would be the crown jewel of either one of those deals.
There's a lot there. So there had to be a moment yesterday where you thought to yourself, we're going to get Tyreek Hill.
Initially, I was like, okay. I mean, look at the... Because I was with you. I was like, there's no way I'm giving up the 4th. But, I mean, the 10th, I mean, if you're talking about taking a wide receiver with one of those picks, I mean, Mel will have him on the 735. He had them taking Drake London with the 4th overall pick. And I'm, you know, I've said this a couple different times. The whole goal here this offseason is, I think, for Joe Douglas and for Robert Saleh is, you know, we got to legitimize Zach Wilson being the 2nd overall pick. So even if that doesn't translate into a bunch of wins because the AFC is so loaded, as long as he plays well, really well, then we all look good.
Yes. And what better way to help him, to push him along, to play well than add the... I mean, really. I mean, Devontae Adams is phenomenal. DeAndre Hopkins is phenomenal.
Cooper Kupp.
I mean, these guys are the best of the best. There is no one that is more dangerous than Tyreek Hill. He's at a different level than all of those guys. And I really thought for a minute there yesterday that the Jets were going to land Tyreek Hill.
Well, I think you just started to look at what the Jets would have. I mean, just assuming Mekhi Becton comes back, right? You have him and Vera Tucker on the left side.
Right.
You bring in Tomlinson, so you feel like, okay, I mean, we're solidifying the offensive line that was a lot better than people thought last year. Now we got everyone likes Michael Carter, so that's good. Bring Tevin Coleman back. Couple tight ends. Elijah Moore was good for us last year. We get Corey Davis back healthy. And now you add Tyreek Hill?
Who's the biggest game changer in football. Now, a couple things. Firstly, what are the Chiefs without him?
Well, I think they're going to address. I mean, obviously, they...
Well, listen, they had Juju Smith-Schuster. Now they have the 29th and 30th picks. I know they're going to address
wide
receiver.
They got Valdez-Scantling in town,
Valdez,
I guess.
Valdez-Scantling is in Kansas City. I guess there's a chance that they sign on to him. But still, I mean, he is a difference maker. He is throw it up. How many times has it just been throw it up and all of a sudden Tyreek Hill just happens to be 5 yards past the defensive back, catches it, and takes it to the house?
Well, I think that's what was so intriguing, though, is because when you watch Zach Wilson play or how Zach Wilson fancies himself, the names you hear are Patrick. Like I play like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Well, I mean, Tyreek Hill's having all the success with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you saw what Zach Wilson's arm looks like. So now you start dreaming about, okay, could you imagine that with how Zach Wilson can throw the football? And you start to think, okay, yeah, now this is how we get the best out of a young quarterback. But again, to my original point, when you leave it up to Tyreek Hill to pick between Miami, no state tax, by the way, and the Jets, I mean, what do you think he's going to do?
He did what I thought he would do. And can we address this, by the way? Like, there's got to be some kind of a way they can figure out to equal the money if you sign with a team that there's no state tax. It's just not fair.
Well, yeah, I mean, isn't the whole idea with the salary cap and everything else is so there's no competitive advantage?
Right. I mean, you're telling me that Miami doesn't have a competitive advantage financially over the Jets?
Well, of course they do. Well, so does Vegas.
Well, of course they do. So does anybody in Texas.
And people can say what they want. I mean, no one wants to get into the weeds with state income tax and everything else, but that, I mean, when you're making that kind of money, that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, you got the weather.
We're talking about millions of dollars.
Millions
and millions of dollars difference between, you know, playing with the Jets and playing with Miami.
And you got the nice weather. The team's closer to winning than the Jets are.
You better hope to God that Tua is not very good.
I think Tua's probably going to be all right.
Well, if Tua is decent, look at that team.
Well, look at the division.
But forget about the division for a second. Jalen Waddle is going to be a great player. Tyreek Hill is, you have to game plan for him. The tight end is good. Devontae Parker, I don't know that he's a one, but he's a pretty good two.
He's a good receiver.
On any team. Cedric Wilson, I think by the end of the season, you could argue he was the best or second best receiver on the Cowboys. They had him.
Good. But again, and then they're bringing a similar system to what you saw in San Francisco, right?
Absolutely, they are. They're already redoing the offensive line, added maybe the best left tackle in football.
Well, yeah, he was the big ticket tackle available this offseason.
So you know, we talked about this. The Jets haven't won a division game in years, right?
2 years, correct.
I mean, would you be shocked if they went 0-6 again this year in division?
Would I be shocked? No. I would not be shocked. But again, I mean, now you're hearing reports that the Jets have been in contact with Seattle.
For Metcalf?
Or Lockett, yeah.
Well, good for them. I mean, for my money, Metcalf is the better receiver, but good. Good for them.
Well, Metcalf
I'll tell you what I like. I like that Joe Douglas looks like he's trying to be aggressive.
Well, I like the fact that you put yourself in a spot where you can be involved in these conversations. Where you have your salary cap cleaned up, you know what I mean? Like that, you can, and you have the draft picks to make deals like this happen.
Yeah, you have flexibility. You sure do. All right, let's get to the calls. 1-800-919-3776 on the Jets. Here's I think what you're going to get a lot of today. Also, I wanted them. I want them.
Yeah, I
didn't
want them that bad.
What?
Yeah, you're gonna exactly what you're gonna get is yeah, I wanted them, but listen, man, we weren't ready. It was a lot to give up. It's a lot of money, so I'm fine with it.
Right. Which I don't know. Feels like a loser way out.
Well, I don't think it's a loser way out. The one I don't like is that the Jets weren't ready for it. It has nothing to do with the Jets being
not
ready.
Does he make you much better? Does he help your quarterback tremendously?
No. See, what you just said is the most important thing. That's it. Does it make your quarterback better? Because that's all this is about right now.
And the answer is unequivocally yes. He makes any quarterback better. Patrick Mahomes is great. Patrick Mahomes is greater when he has Tyreek Hill. All right, here's Mike Tenenbaum, K-Show yesterday, saying Metcalf could, in fact, be acquired by the Jets.
Clearly, Seattle's in a rebuild. They have the ninth pick, and I think they have to sit there and say, do we take Kenny Pickett or do we stay with Drew Lock? But if I'm Joe Douglas and I was going to give up a lot for Tyreek Hill, I really think strongly about DK Metcalf because while he may not be as fast as Tyreek Hill, he's bigger and stronger and way more physical. So he is a bona fide number one who's young, ascending, and he'd be the guy that if we were building a team, you can make an argument, hey, do we want him over Devontae Adams because of his age. Now, Tyreek Hill is truly unique because he's so fast, but Metcalf's a guy I would definitely look at.
He's a terrific
wide receiver. See, I don't know about that. DJ Metcalf's straight line speed is probably pretty close to...
But I think it's fair to say he's not the game breaker that Tyreek
Hill is. Well, he's not as sudden, though. He's not as twitchy as...
He's not the home run hitter that Tyreek Hill is. So what would you get? Would you give up two twos?
See, but here's the thing, though. He's going to want a big, giant bag of money, too.
Well, why is that so awful? You have a lot of money.
Well, I don't think it's that awful, but, I mean, are you going to give up the same package of picks that you're going to give up for Tyreek Hill? You just told me that he's not as big a game changer as Tyreek Hill.
Well, what was the Tyreek Hill? It was going to be two twos and a three, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Both of your early twos, though. Those aren't just – those are legitimate.
Yeah, they're late ones, right?
Yeah, those are good picks.
All right. Well, you tell me. So let's start here. Would you give up two twos?
So you're talking about giving up 35 and 38?
35 and 38, you get DK Metcalf, yes. Well, I'm starting there. I'm going to give you more.
Yeah, I probably would.
You probably would, right?
Yeah, I probably would.
I mean, are you going to get a receiver in the draft 5 weeks from today, by the way? That's anywhere near DK Metcalf in your opinion?
Well, did anyone know that DK Metcalf was going to be what DK Metcalf turned himself into?
But now you know, and therein lies the problem.
Well,
now
that's
you know
thing,
what
but
he
now,
is.
And it also, I mean, if you have the money to afford it, because now this is when you should spend the money because your quarterback's on the rookie deal.
Yep.
Is now you free yourself up with 4 and 10.
You've got to do something this year. You have to.
But you keep saying that. The quarterback has to do something this year. That's the most important thing.
He has to. You can't go through this season and say, like, I think he could be good.
No, you can't.
I think there is a chance he could be good. No, you can't have it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
All right, I just refreshed. Here we go. 384 votes already in. 71.4% for you, 28.6% for Peter Rosenberg. So it's early, but you're receiving 3 out of every 4 votes or thereabouts. So that's good news for you.
That's real early, though. Real early.
Very
like I told
early.
You, I'm more concerned about him later in the day.
Well, because when he tweets out, guys need some help here, what in fact happens then?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know how active he's on Twitter. How many followers he has.
He's got a lot of followers.
Lift it up and show it to me.
The wrestling community could get... I mean, The Undertaker could vote for him.
Yeah, but time out. Let's get one thing straight, though. I know he works for WWE, but again, was asked a wrestling question yesterday on Stump Rothenberg, and we crushed it.
No, you crushed it.
Okay, so let's not pretend like, you know, Rick wasn't or isn't still a big-time wrestling fan. I'm involved.
So you dabble, but you're very quiet about that.
Yeah, it's not... I don't need to...
You don't need to brag about the fact that as an adult you still like a child's event.
Correct.
Okay. I think that's fair. The winner of your matchup, which at the moment is you, will face the winner of Kay and Han. Now, Han jumped out to an early lead. 338 votes have been tabulated up to the moment. Michael with a 61.5% to 38.5% advantage. So that's...
I'm a fat slob. I bet you I'm in better shape than that idiot.
It's close. Who is he talking about there?
I don't know. They get him worked up sometimes. I love it.
It's not difficult to do.
He has been noticeably, like, he's been more snappy than usual, I think, lately.
I'm up before the cows!
And then I eat them.
Wow. See, I don't look at that as, like, some awful, I mean, I who doesn't like steak?
You hear what happened to him yesterday?
Well, whatever happened, he probably deserved it. What happened?
All right, so he's down, again, he's down in Tampa doing the right. Yankee stuff, right? I had nice weather, so I have nothing to complain about. So he decides yesterday he's going to treat himself to some Burger King. So he goes...
I got to tell you, it's my favorite of the fast foods.
I know you
Burger
say that all
King.
The time. But, yeah, you're not like Michael, though, right? Like, you go in, you get a Whopper, whatever, and it doesn't have to be plain. It's just give me a Whopper, fries, and a
well,
drink.
You say that. I don't put mayonnaise on my Whopper, though.
Okay, but you have all the other accoutrements.
Yeah, give me the Whopper with no mayonnaise. Yes.
Okay, fine. No mayo. So he goes. He's the drive-thru. He's going to treat himself, all excited for it, as you would be. So he says, I'll have, you know, a delicious plain chicken sandwich. And she says, okay, what, plain chicken sandwich? She says, yes, plain chicken sandwich. Okay, done. Give me a large fry. Good, uh-huh. Large fry.
And one, then, you know what? One large fry?
One large fry, but here's the thing. He goes, I'm going to treat myself extra special. Give me a mozzarella stick, too.
Oh,
nice. All right, so here we go with that. Three very delicious items. Now, I wouldn't get the chicken sandwich plain, but whatever. So gets the bag, makes a critical mistake, though, doesn't check the bag.
Nah, you got to check to make sure you got what you want. Totally agree.
Pulls over, ready, all fired up, opens the chicken sandwich. It's a Whopper.
They gave him a Whopper instead of a chicken sandwich.
They gave him a Whopper, and it
which
didn't
for
stop
most
there.
People wouldn't be the worst punishment in the world, by the way.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine if Don just happened to stumble across a Whopper? He'd cry.
He'd devour it.
You gotta make him eat the Whopper.
So now he won't eat the Whopper because he won't eat anything with all the condiments.
It's fully
on
loaded.
It.
Yeah, it's right. Fully loaded. You saw the Whopper.
He doesn't go back. He doesn't get back online and say, "Excuse me."
Oh, here's how it gets worse, though. Did he get a large fry? No, he did not get a large fry. He got a small fry. So now we're 0 for 2. So we got a Whopper instead of a chicken sandwich.
So now he's working with one small fries.
Yep. And then he opens the mozzarella stick. Maybe, you know, just a nice, delicious mozzarella stick will make up for the no chicken sandwich.
What was that?
Jalapeno poppers.
So obviously this wasn't his order.
Well, clearly.
Right.
And they're 0 for 3. Poppers.
That's terrific. So he didn't get back online and say, "Excuse me, this is not what I ordered."
I know. At that point, he said he just started to cry. Like I don't know where it went from there. I had to jump out of the car.
Oh my God! I mean, if you got your order completely wrong, wouldn't you get back online and have it remedied?
Well, it depends on how far I was. If I stopped in the parking lot there to eat it, yeah, I would go get it remedied. But if I was already like, you know, I'm just picking it up to go eat it, where like I'm going to take it to the field and sit in the parking lot.
I'm getting back online. If I'm 10 miles away, I'm getting. But you just stole my money, is what you've done, and I want it recouped. That's what I would do. All right, let's go to the call.
You steal the money, though. It's just you stole the joy, the pure bliss.
The joy. You're right. It's all. They stole everything. Jeff in East Windsor. Jeff, you're next up. Let's go. Tyreek Hill, 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Big fan of the show. I guess I'm of the unpopular opinion as a Jets fan. I mean, I wouldn't say I was disappointed because disappointment follows me as a Jets fan. But realistically, if you bring in Tyreek Hill with the roster as is, how many more wins are the Jets going to get?
Yeah, but it's not about wins, though.
How much better does it make your quarterback, Jeff?
Yeah, it's not about wins.
How much better does it make your quarterback?
You're probably exponentially better.
Okay.
You're probably right there, but I guess, man, I guess I'm saying, you know, if you bring him in, you're still not banging with the Bills. You're not going to bang with the big dogs yet.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about that, though, Jeff. What I'm worried about is making sure my quarterback can play. And whatever it costs, draft pick-wise or money-wise, to find that out, I'm willing to do it. Because God forbid he can't play. And now, I mean, that means Joe Douglas is going to be fired, Robert Saleh is going to be fired, and we're back to square one.
That's right. And you're not even going to have that answer after this coming season. That's going to be at least 2 years down the road. But this could help you get that. Listen, the offensive line was good and has a very good chance of getting better, right? And they're going to address the offensive line still. So you have a left tackle, you have a left guard, right? You are putting the pieces in place now. All right, you have a legitimate right guard, so you're not far from having what should be a good offensive line. All right, you like your running back situation. You like Elijah Moore. Now you have two tight ends. If you add that level receiver to this team, you're going to get answers on Zach Wilson.
Okay, but that's exactly what it's about. Because I heard from a bunch of different people, like even Rich Eisen was saying it, who's a huge Jets fan, is that he doesn't know if the Jets are ready. It has nothing to do with the Jets being ready to all of a sudden now we add Tyreek Hill and whatever we do in the draft and we're ready to be a playoff team. That's not what this is about.
There's nothing here. Here's the way I see it. Tell me if you agree. There's nothing the Jets can do from now to the start of the season that in my mind will make them a playoff team. That is an impossibility. That cannot happen.
No, I agree with you. I mean, and I have no problem with that. What I need to know and what Joe Douglas needs to know for his job security moving forward and what Robert Saleh needs to know is Zach Wilson the guy?
Right. And what easier way to find out if he's the guy than to fix the offensive line, which you've done, which wasn't even bad last year, and to give him the weapons that he needs? And is there a better weapon, a better big play weapon out there than Tyreek Hill? Listen, I understand that the Jets can be fine without acquiring him, but I do not understand the mindset of, oh, we're not ready to win yet, so why would we grab a guy like Tyreek Hill? Why would you grab any receiver who's available on the market?
But see, that's the thing, though. How long are you going to wait? Because, again, this is the time to take advantage of that Zach Wilson is on a rookie deal. So if I got to go spend some money and give him some draft picks to make sure that I know.
And you have a million draft picks.
But guess what? The Hinkie Haynes, who, again, he's a Giants fan, right? So it's not about how many wins they get. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going into the season saying to myself, when you look at the landscape of the AFC, you just mentioned it. No matter what they do, they're not going to be a playoff team.
They cannot make the playoffs,
okay,
no.
But if Zach Wilson turns out, like if you get Tyreek Hill and Zach Wilson turns out to be a stud and he can play, guess what that's going to translate into? Into more wins, some unexpected wins. Not enough to put you in the playoffs, but maybe, I mean, maybe you win 7 games. Maybe you win 8 games. Who knows?
Did you think you were going to beat Cincinnati last year?
No.
Right. Exactly. Sometimes you stumble upon some wins. But right now, it's hard to envision the Jets are going to get a lot of them. It really is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So does Duke win tonight?
Does Duke win tonight?
Do they live to see another day? They're underdogs in this game.
Underdogs in this game. I'm going to let my heart make this decision because I want to see Coach K.
So you're going to say they win?
And I want you to be happy. This is for you.
For me?
Because I know you'll be upset. Because it'll sink in. Coach K's done. Duke is out.
It will make me sad. See, you're right. The best thing for you is if they lose Saturday to Gonzaga, because that way I have like a full 24-plus hour buffer before we come back on the air.
Yeah, I won't have to deal with it.
Exactly. You're smart.
This is what I do.
You're smart. And maybe that's why you're hammering Rosenberg at the moment.
Stop saying it because I'm not concerned about right now because I know the company's going to show up. Just so people know, too, there is a tattoo on the line.
That's right. Not just this matchup, the whole thing tattoo that says the company somewhere on your body, yes?
Correct.
And you can't do like a microscopic, like where is the tattoo? Well, if you use this magnifying glass, you can see it. Like you need to get a real tattoo.
Oh, I'm getting a real tattoo, baby.
That is seen by the naked eye.
You know how I feel about being naked. The naked eye will be able to see this tattoo.
I want you to say right now. Right now, I want you to say it. RJ, I want you to clip it. I want to play this back. If I win, repeat after me. If I win. The entire host sadness bracket. By June 1st, 2022.
By June 1st, 2022.
I will receive. What? Oh, that's the tattoo. Okay.
That's the tattoo. Yeah, that's the tattoo.
I was wondering what the hell that was. Okay. Now I lost my train of thought. I will receive.
I'm sure you've heard that sound before in the bedroom. Yep, continue.
See, here's the thing.
What? Proceed. Just proceed. Right? Let it go.
No. I respond to that. Now it's like, Dave, you can't do that kind of stuff. You do it. It's like, oh, Rick, that was so funny. That's great. Just keep it up. They probably have a contract extension ready for you.
I hope.
He's so funny. Can we extend them for 2 years? All right. Where was I? June 1st, 2022. I will receive a tattoo.
I will receive a tattoo
of the company.
Of the company.
Large enough to be seen by the naked eye.
Large enough to be seen by the naked eye.
There you go. RJ, you should be able to cobble that together into a verbal commitment of what will happen. So if you weren't going to vote for him before, vote for him now.
Yeah, because Peter's not. I mean, he's doing nothing.
Nothing. I mean, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Shave his arms?
No, he can't do that. I mean, you know how long that would take?
Hours.
My tattoo will be done faster than his arms will be shaved.
Absolutely. Let's get back to the calls on the Jets. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Bruce in Irvington. Good morning, Bruce. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. And hey, I just wanted to, Rick, I'm sorry, too. Good morning. Hey, guys, I just wanted to chime in a little bit about the Tyreek Hill trade to the Dolphins concerning the Jets. I'm not sure how true it is, but I did read that the amount that the Jets, I guess, was offering was kind of similar to what Miami was offering. But
same financial package. And I guess yeah. The picks wise, right, the point system they use, the Jets are actually offering a better deal than Miami.
Yeah, because, you know, they have higher picks and stuff like that. So, I'm thinking that because they said Kansas City kind of gave Tyreek the go to kind of choose where he wanted to go between, I guess, Miami and New York. You know, and then it was also kind of reported that he has a home in the offseason in Miami. But when I read that, before they even said that he signed with Miami, it was like, bam, he chose Miami. So I kind of figured out, like, he's not going to come to New York if he already has a home and everything. And then, you know, the taxes probably come into play. He gets more of his money, things like that versus New York market. You know, sometimes I feel like that hurts a lot of, you know, I'm a big Jets fan. I listen to you guys all the time. First time caller, but you know, I kind of figured that, you know, sometimes that kind of, you know, is like a determining factor between two teams. Like, I figured if it was another team, like, you know, a team that's, like, at an equal stance with the Jets and taxes wasn't included, then, you know, more than likely Tyreek probably would have signed with New York. But I just, you know, it's not heartbreaking. I know, you know, I would have loved that if we had got him, but, you know, now there's nothing that we could do. And then we wasn't going to – even if we got Tyreek, it wasn't like that was going to push us up the AFC race
God,
anyway.
Bruce,
you know?
it was such a great call until the end. I don't understand why we have to go there. So why even play this season if you're the Jets? There's nothing you can do that's going to push you over the top. You could. There's not one player that you could add. I really believe this. I don't think there's one player you could add to this team that makes you a team that would go to the postseason. Not one. Not Mahomes, not anybody.
Well, let's not get crazy, though.
I don't believe that. Though. I don't.
Well,
in the AFC,
though.
I don't think the Jets. You're not winning the division.
Well, I'm not saying winning the division. Let's not get crazy, though. I mean, you start talking about adding a Patrick Mahomes, I think things change a little bit.
I think they change a lot, but I still don't think you're a playoff team. But obviously, that doesn't bear discussion.
Outside of quarterback.
My point is this: that then why not punt on the season if everyone's going to call and just say, "Well, what's it going to do for us? What's it going to do for you?"
What's our coping mechanism? You know what it is. Of course everyone wanted Tyreek Hill when you saw it.
Well, it's an awful mechanism. Stop playing the loser victim. Go all in. Say, you know what? It sucks we didn't get him. Hopefully we get Metcalf. Maybe there's another player that we're in on that will change the fortune of this franchise. Instead of, I didn't want him anyway. You know, make us much better.
Well, it's definitely going to make you better. And more importantly, it's going to make your quarterback better, which is the most important thing.
Drives me crazy.
For everybody involved. Us as fans.
Why would we want him?
Joe Douglas as GM.
Why would you not want him? Is it fair to say he's the most dynamic player that's not a quarterback in the league?
Most dynamic?
Yes.
I would say he's probably one of the most explosive. I would say that Cooper Kupp is probably right up there.
All right, fine.
But big playability? I mean, he's a big play waiting to happen.
No one can touch the ball and take it to the house easier than Tyreek Hill. No one. Not Cooper Kupp, not Adams, not Hopkins, none of them.
From a bunch of different spots, too, right? Like, I mean, he's jet sweeps, whatever. Just get the ball in his hands, and he's going to make something good happen.
I think this is an interesting call, because you mentioned this earlier. Joe in Bethel. Joe, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate the call, Joe. Welcome.
I just don't understand why everybody's all pumped up about getting Tyreek Hill. In 2014, I mean, he beat his pregnant girlfriend. I would go all in on DK Metcalf. I mean, he's young. He's a bona fide number one receiver. Why bring that negative attention to, you know, the Jets, who already have enough negative attention on them?
Well, I don't think – because here's the thing. And I said this earlier in the show. I don't – Tyreek Hill, the person, I don't care for. I think he's a bad guy. But as far as what he can do for your team and what he'll do for your quarterback as a Jets fan – I mean, you're supposed to hold your nose and just and realize that, yeah, I mean, you're concerned about winning football games. That's it.
Do you think that the Kansas City fan base looked at him as just a great guy? I mean, 2014, we know what happened. And I think recently, too, right? Wasn't there a case like 2 years ago where he was accused of domestic violence as well?
Yeah, and then the stuff comes up with his kid. Yeah, I mean, it's not.
I mean, this is an unsavory guy. There's no doubt about it.
He's not a good guy, but it's your choice. You know, it's your choice as a sports fan in these situations to try to, if you can, separate it.
You have to. If you can't separate it, you're going to make yourself miserable.
Oh, yeah, you make yourself crazy.
Right? Because look at, I mean, there's a lot of great guys.
And let me tell you, too, just so people know, like once you're inside one of these locker rooms, like, there's a lot of not good guys that play sports that you don't know, that you think are good guys.
But when you say not good guys, you don't mean to that extent, do you? Or do you?
Well, no, just like not always to that extent. But there are some, I mean, there are some guys that do bad things that you don't hear about that haven't been charged with something or got caught doing them, that do things that, I mean, you would look at and say, this is awful what this guy is doing.
Right. But the better not know. Than to know and be turned off. Let's go to Al in Holbrook. And we're moments away, by the way, from Nobservations and DHIF. Al in Holbrook, go ahead. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of bullet points and listening to the show. One, I'm a Jet fan for a very, very long time.
I can't believe people got this take on. If we don't go to the playoffs, then it makes no sense to get Tyreek Hill. They need to understand that if you don't have a quarterback, then you have nothing anyway. So we have to do everything we can do to make sure this guy develops in his two-year, three-year developmental window. You have to take advantage of that.
Whatever it takes.
So that's the reason. Whatever it takes. That's how I feel. The second bullet point is I was talking to my boy yesterday, and I'm telling him, yo, listen, man, all Joe Douglas had to do was raise that 10th pick, and because the other two packages are comparable, you know, if you go a little bit further, we've got Tyreek Hill. And because every Jets fan has a skeptic tank, my boy was like, listen, Tyreek Hill was not coming here. He feels that Kansas City just used the Jets to beef up the trade with Miami. He was going to Miami in the first place. So I said, no, he can't do that because the Jets could just Kansas City could just trade him to the Jets regardless. He doesn't have a trade. No,
well, yeah,
trade
but
call.
Here's the thing, though. But Al, here's the thing, because you're not wrong, and that was a great call, and I love that the skeptic.
But he could have not signed the extension, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
But again, you call. Here's the thing. Once you allow Drew Rosenhaus to go out and look for a trade for Tyreek Hill, like that's when Joe Douglas, if he was really hell bent on getting this deal done, say, hey, listen. Money's going to be the same. Whatever you think, or like that money will be the same. And then you don't give Kansas City the opportunity to give him the choice. You say, hey, we'll give you the 10th pick.
Right. You want out of here? You're going to the Jets.
And that's it. And you can just tell him. I mean, yeah, Tyreek, we love you, and you've been great for us, but hey, this is it. They give us the 10th pick, and in a little bit more, you'll get the same money. Well, that's how it's going to be. But once you give him the choice, it feels like a pretty easy choice.
Yeah. You can go to a team that is I mean, Miami
closer.
Could be a playoff team this year.
Yeah, much closer. It's a no state tax. You have warmer weather. It's Miami.
Right. You're not the only weapon. You're one of many weapons on that team. They have a lot more going on. All right, hang on the line. We'll get back to your Jets topic.
By the way, talk about Miami just completely burying the whole Stephen Ross thing.
They've done it beautifully, haven't they? Because that's the thing. We're so addicted. Right, we care until we don't care. We care, and then it's like, wait, you had a Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, you keep Gesicki, you had a Teron Armstead. Forget about that stuff. You tried to throw games, we don't care. We're all in now. Right?
You fired your coach for no reason? And
who cares? You brought in Tyreek Hill. That's all we care. Yeah, do you realize this also? I don't mean to make you depressed. Miami has two first-round picks next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a tremendous quarterback draft. All right, RJ, now you're going to yell at me for no time. But you told me to take that call. Let's go.
If you say something like this.
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this.
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
I will not yell at you. Knobservations brought to you by Jack Pocket. So, away we go. Aaron Hicks, this was good, on the R2C2 podcast. Are you familiar?
That's Ryan Rucco and CC Sabathia, yes.
Your former co-host.
Yes.
Former co-hosts.
That's Rucco right, because we did have a while where CC was on our show.
Oh, could be a Cuddle Mary Trash for next week. Rucco, Sabathia, DiPietro.
Oh, I know where I'd go. I could answer that right now.
Peace. Answer it.
All right. I'll marry DiPietro, I'll cuddle Rucco, and I will trash Sabathia.
Well, CeCe really never showed up.
He never showed up for work.
I think I remember that day. Well, since he left the Yankees, a place he worked, and he does show up for his new place of employment, the R2C2 podcast, it's been a topic of conversation kind of since he left. They don't really have that same aura, that attitude inside the clubhouse, right? So Aaron Hicks was a guest on that podcast, and here's what he said about the attitude change that needs to take place.
I mean, I think our phrase for this year is have some you, because I mean, obviously that's something, you know, that we're missing. I'm definitely ready to do that.
I like that, man.
And you know, I don't cuss a lot. I mean, I think we need to make teams afraid of us. Like, damn, the Yankees are coming in town. Like, we need to have that to where every place we walk into, they're afraid to play us. When we go in there, we don't need to just beat them. We need to beat the dog out of them.
Yeah.
Like, we need to just go there and just beat them to the point to where when they show up the next day, like, they whooped and they're not trying to play that game.
You could tell Rucco was feeling it there in the middle. He's like, yeah.
When you sign a long term deal with the Yankees, do you just instantly sound like a Muppet?
Wow. That's what happens.
Like, does his voice not sound like he sounds like Garrett Cole?
Very, very Muppety. I would absolutely agree with that. In fact, I was going to make fun of his voice, and I thought, you know what? I'm better than that. I'm not going to do
sake.
It. No, but now that you did it, I can jump on board with
it. Yeah, we're not better than that. You know, you can't fake what he's talking about, though. Like, that's been part of the problem. No one's afraid to play the Yankees.
No one is afraid. Yankees are good. They'll win 90-plus games. People being scared of them, that's a thing of the past.
So, they also spoke about how that could change, and specifically, CeCe had a name of a player who could...
Let me guess.
Yep.
Josh Donaldson.
Oh!
Donaldson, I feel like I've been here one day, he's been here 2 days. And I told him when I came, I was like, he's good for the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to say whatever the pops in his head to whoever. In his clubhouse, outside of his clubhouse. And that's what you need, like a little bit of you.
I'm not sure why we're even blurring that out. Like, I still feel like I can hear the word when he says it.
I was thinking that. On that last bleep you, I feel like I don't think you guys did a very good job.
I think I heard all of it. Really.
I think I heard it, too.
No.
Yeah, you're on the same page today.
I'm pretty sure. Like, maybe it was just the way my brain was hearing it, but I'm pretty confident that I heard the actual word.
No. When are we going to get past that, though? Like, what does it mean? Like, what's a swear word anyway? Who cares?
It's just a word.
Word.
There is a little thing called the FCC where they can find you.
Oh, I know. But I mean,
money.
Why don't let's speak with... Get the FCC on the phone, RJ. Let's talk about this.
You want to call?
Well, we have Kuiper at 7:35. So why don't you call the FCC right after Kuiper? Hi, FCC. It's Rick DiPietro. See, that would be appropriate for you to use your last name. So then you'd be like, hey, it's Rick.
Hey, it's Rick.
Call me back.
You.
They might be familiar. They'd be like, oh, Rick, how are you?
Yeah.
You're a multi-time offender.
Hey, we see you dumped quite a bit.
Oh, Rick DiPietro, yes. Hang on. Pull up his file.
You're like the Julius Randle of FCC fines.
Do me a favor. Steve, get the DiPietro file. Yeah. Hang on. I got to get the wheelbarrow from downstairs to wheel that bad boy up here.
Also, I saw this just perusing Twitter yesterday. Do you know how many dollars the Oakland A's have spent on incoming free agents this offseason?
Zero.
Zero Negative. Dollars. Actually, $0.
They have brought in no free agents.
Next on that list is the Cleveland Guardians, which it's strange to see. Guardians.
I hate that name. I got to be honest. I can't stand that name.
They're at 900,000. Yeah, I agree with
you. Which is also nothing.
Nothing.
Which name do you like least, the Guardians or the Commanders?
They're both gross.
I was okay with Washington Football Team. It grew on me. It's such mocking the process. You didn't even try, and I respect that.
Well, why do we have to keep changing? Just when you become comfortable with Football Team, now they're the Commanders?
Yeah. So, some fireworks last night on the Miami Heat bench. And a loss to the Warriors. The Heat lost by 14. But during a timeout, Jimmy Butler, Udonis Haslem, who it's amazing, Haslem still around, shouting at each other, finger pointing. Eric
they
Spoelstra.
They were
shouting at each other?
Really?
They throwing feces?
I got to see the video on this.
Is that what I said? I didn't mean to say that. So that did not happen. Shouting.
Oh.
Shouting.
Oh, he's already on vacation. He's gone. We've lost him. He's gone.
Shouting.
He's already in Vegas.
You know, if one of
you really are. I mean, you're probably shirtless at the studio right now.
No, it's too cold here. So shouting is what was said. Fingers pointing. Eric Spoelstra.
And we both heard it too.
Yeah, yes. That's the troubling thing. Oh. Eric Spoelstra slammed his clipboard. He was asked after the game what was being discussed.
Wondering where the dinner plans were tonight after the game. Pretty clear. We have a very competitive, gnarly group, and we're getting our asses kicked. And two straight games, we were not playing to the level that we wanted to play.
So Miami, the one seed for now in the East, a little more tenuous standing than it was previously. I guess how serious do we take the Heat?
I take the Heat serious.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah. I think that the coach is probably as good as anyone, and they have a closer, and they play good defense, and they're going to be home. So I think they're a real competition.
You see how the bench reacted to him, though? For Spoelstra to react and keep reacting, like, it didn't stop with him.
No.
Like, he just kept
going
after him.
It was like a full
him.
Minute.
Yeah, like, and he throws the clipboard down. Like, he went after him.
I love it. How great was that, by the way? Isn't that what you want from your coach, a coach that's that passionate?
From your team, man. Like, so the sound you heard from CeCe, right? Like, the one thing he did say, which I completely agree with, is you have to have a guy or guys in the locker room that will say whatever needs to be said and not worry about the repercussions from it. Like, if I hurt feelings, I hurt feelings. I don't need to be your friend. Like, you need that. There needs to be that kind of tension in a good locker room. And Miami clearly has it.
Oh, yeah. You kind of flippantly say how much do you like their chances? I still like their chances a lot. I think they're a very good team.
You know what's wild about Spoelstra? He very quietly, I think you can have this discussion now. He what is he, like a top 12, 15 coach of all time? He's going to get to
He's a really good coach.
He's and video how old coordinator.
Is he? Still 40s, right?
Is he still in his 40s? How is that possible?
He is. He's 51, I'm sorry.
51.
Just barely.
But still, you would imagine has at least another, if he wants to, 15, 20 years
left. Yeah, his prostate might be in good shape if he can just shard a people.
All right.
That's a lot of confidence.
Raymond, we're getting you ready for Vegas, RJ. Raymond. We're getting you ready.
Man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
So I give credit here. This actually came in from Nick Falco on Instagram. So
you have people now that are monitoring the Did It Happen in Florida wires out there, and sending it to you.
They're across the globe. Yeah, with course correspondence. Yeah.
Where is Nick from? Do we know?
Are they molesters, RJ?
when you say molesters, how would that be spelled?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I've seen it spelled once.
Alrighty. So, four men, I take you to a gas station for today's DF. Yeah. Nice. Four men were busted for, listen to this, installing Warriors. these Nope. So, they were busted for installing these devices inside gas pumps where they could control the prices. So what did
this
they...
This is genius.
What
did
they,
really is.
Yeah, they're like the Robin Hood of gas station attendants. So they dropped the price down below 5 cents a gallon.
Oh, I wish I would have gone to that gas
station. So you see people driving by, like, peeling off the road to get to this gas station, and then you pull up and you're like, no. Yeah. People filled their tanks for a dollar. So... all four of these guys were arrested. They didn't get too far. But it should be noted that one of the guys actually had a remote control. So laziness at its finest while he's corrupting the system. I could just picture a guy sitting in like a recliner just toggling the prices. And you see the wheel spinning on the digital board as you drive by. But yeah, essentially free gas in a specific location. But I ask you, was that location Florida?
You have a feel for this one?
Yeah, I feel pretty strongly about this one.
You
that
do.
Seems that that seems very, very Floridian to me.
It does?
Oh yeah.
See, doesn't almost feel like it's too bright for Florida though?
No, because I think this is kind of like right in that wheelhouse.
All right, I'll go with you. If you have a feeling, I'll go Florida.
And Raymond.
Right in the Florida wheelhouse with the laziness and everything.
Oh, the molesters must have tipped you guys off. That was Lakeland, Florida. So a job well done.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.